Our Heavenly Father, we come before Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We worship Thee, O Lord, Thou art God over all, the God of all eternity, the only God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God in three persons, mysteriously in three persons. O Lord, how we thank Thee that Thou art the one and true and living God who came down into our sin-sick world through the person of Jesus Christ the Lord, the mediator between God and man. O Lord, we come before Thee with fear. We come before Thee also rejoicing. O Lord, we worship Thee in thy majesty. Thou art the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We thank Thee that we can approach Thee tonight. O Lord, we come only through the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only Savior, who came to secure unto His people an eternal salvation. O Lord, look upon us. We come that Thou may receive us. O Lord, we plead our case. Receive us tonight. Bless us. Do not look unto our sins, but forgive us afresh. May we receive instruction from Thy word with meekness, and we are gathered together to study Thy word. We thank Thee for this marvelous and extraordinary word. It comes from the mind of God. It is indeed the book of books, the library of all books, the God of all books. It is the book that saves our souls, because faith comes by hearing. So may we hear from Thee tonight as we gather together. May Thy presence be felt by each one of us as we worship Thee, seeking Thy face, in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing together our first hymn, hymn number 37. Hymn number 37. Come, let us with our Lord arise. Now from Paul's letter to the Colossians, Colossians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 4, and if I may read from verse 7, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7, and you have a list of names there, wonderful names. Some names are familiar to us, others almost unknown. Verse 7, Colossians chapter 4. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluted you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments. If he comes unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, Jew. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle, this letter is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bones. Grace be with you. Amen. I'm taking you to Colossians chapter 4, and I read verse 12 and 13. And as I said earlier, there are some names here. Some are known to us, others probably we never heard them except in the reading of the scriptures. But here is one I would like to dwell upon tonight for the lapse of time we have before us. Verse 12, Colossians chapter 4. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. So we are given here, if you are brave enough later to read it for yourself, from verse 7 to the end. Yesterday, those who are here, you know we had a group photo. So here is a Bible group photo with the names here. And actually, you can count the names for yourself later. I believe 10 names are given to us. And this is really the first Christian network. It was not invented by our modern society. It was already there. The first Christian network. And you can see, I don't have time. I dare not skim through the 10 names. So that's why I want just to focus on one of them. And that's why my title is just Epaphras. It's not a medicine name. It's not a planet name. But it is a saint name. The name of a saint. Epaphras. And you can see through the man here. And I believe there is a woman, a lady mentioned. And unity in diversity. From different horizons. Different ethnicity. But they were one in Christ. And it is also interesting, I'm just trying to build up before we look at some of the things said here. None of them, except the Apostle Paul, as far as we know, performed any miracle. And even in the context here, none of them preached a sermon, at least not recorded for us. Except, of course, Dr. Luke and the Apostle Paul, who wrote the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts. But, no riches displayed. They were not show-off or showing off of their possessions. And it's interesting also, no ego claim. Nobody was falling in megalomania here. There was no peacock among them. Very humble people. Of course, if we study them, you know the Lord Jesus Christ had his Judas, but Paul also had his Demas. And it is interesting when you read about Demas here, hardly anything is said about him. But that's another subject. So, but great work was there. My dear friends, here is an application. The power of the gospel in action. No Christian should sleep on his laurels. Please, never do that. Nobody should be resting on his laurels. Now, may I ask you before I come to the text again? If your name is written here, if my name is written here, what could be said about you? I don't know. So, because some names, they really warm us. But some of the names, they also warn us, a warning. So they make us to think. But I want just to speak about what I may call Venerable Epaphras. He's a saint, and we can learn so much. Whatever I'm going to say is just a scratch. Time is limited. But he's from Colossae, of course. And once converted, we believe that he was converted under the ministry of the Apostle Paul in Ephesus. But this is a Gentile. He was a pagan. Even his name, maybe he was an idolater. But as soon as he found the Lord Jesus Christ, he wanted to go back to his own people and preach the gospel to them. And not just to his own people. This is a man who has affected 3 churches in a good way. The church of Colossae, the church of Laodicea, the church of Hierapolis. So 3 churches being really, he has been instrumental, probably even in the planting of those 3 churches. So though we don't get, he doesn't get many credits in the Bible, this is a great man, I think. But you know why I chose to speak about him? Because he is an ordinary man, like you and me, just like you and me. So much we can say. He was a church planter, he was a pastor, he was an elder, he was an evangelist, but also he was a prisoner. He was in prison, and we shall see that in a moment. But my dear friends, do you know, Paul never speak lightly about anyone. And when he speaks highly about somebody, he meant it. He meant it. You know, you and me sometimes, we meet with people and they say, "Oh, my brother." Even a Jehovah Witness said to me, "My brother." Really? But that's not the case of Paul. When you say somebody, when you qualify somebody to be his brother, it's very deep. So this is what we see here as Paul speaks highly about Epaphras. And I'll show it to you. Look at verse 13. "For I bear witness." Do you see that? This is almost like an oath. And it is very serious. He gives before God, "God is my witness. What I'm about to say about Epaphras is veracious. It's veracity. It is truthful. And it means a lot." So I won't tell you how many things are said about him, but we shall discover them together. And you don't need to turn there because of time's sake. But the first thing, Epaphras is mentioned in Philemon. And it's verse 23. Later, you can check it for yourself, but I want your attention. I want your attention. Because in there, in Philemon verse 23, Paul speaks about Epaphras and he calls him my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Every word, that could be a whole sermon. My fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. It's interesting. Paul uses a lot that expression, in Christ Jesus. Most of the time, you and me, we say Jesus Christ, but he says Christ Jesus. Why? I think is to put the divinity of Christ first. That is why we advise believers, please, when you pray, at the end of your prayers, don't say just in the name of Jesus, because remember, the name Jesus is his humiliation name. But Christ, J Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is his elevation, his offices. So elevate Christ. I think we have that pattern in Paul's prayers. Not just because the world today is using the word, the name Jesus, as a swearing word. And that shouldn't be our case. So anyway, that's just in passing by. My fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, a prisoner in Christ, not a prisoner of Rome, but he was a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing that we know about Epaphras, you need to turn to Colossians 1 verse 7, because that's where we find him. We find him the first time. Colossians chapter 1 verse 7. And Paul there, really, really, highly, the commendation is given again. It starts there. And he says, our dear fellow servant. And the word dear there is the word, you know, from Greek, the word that is often used about love. Our dear. This is divine love, spiritual love, not carnal love. Our dear fellow servant. And the word servant here is the word slave. So co-slave with Paul. And I think that's the best appellation for a believer. Are you a slave? Not slave of sin. Not slave of the world anymore, now I'm slave of righteousness, slave of Jesus Christ. Oh, that is the best rank, the best name that could be given to you and me. Slaves of God. And which means, you see, Paul says, our dear fellow servant, he was equal to Paul. That's humility again, equal to Paul, rowing in the same direction, laboring for the same cause, fighting for the same Lord. And Epaphras knew how to work with other people. You see, co-fellow, co-workers together. He was not a lone ranger. He was not a free electron. He knew how to work with other people. Fellow servant, co-slave. Number three. Still there in Colossians chapter 1, verse 7. Who is for you a faithful? And the word faithful there is a very interesting word. You know, even the English language here gives us a good definition of faithful. What is to be faithful? From the word itself, full of faith. Faithful, full of faith. But the Greek here, the word means, is related to the word faith, trustworthy. Trustworthy. Are you a trustworthy person? Oh, that's, and the word faithful means no guile, no guile, no hypocrisy. Believe me, my dear friends, hypocrisy is never far from us. It's there. But Epaphras was trustworthy. He believed and he's believed. Do people believe you? And that's very important. And you see, who is your, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 7, who is for you a faithful minister? And I will come to the word minister in a minute. He was their envoy. He was their emissary. He was their ambassador to the Apostle Paul. You see, I think this is wonderful. Who is for you a faithful minister, again, of Christ? Not just of somebody called Jesus, but of Christ. Please elevate Christ, glorify Christ, magnify Christ. Now I come to the word minister. It's the word deacon. What does it mean to be a deacon? A deacon is a servant. He's at the tables and he's serving other people. And he was their ambassador to the Apostle Paul, informing him about their progress. We don't have time, but if you go back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, he will bring good news to the Apostle Paul about the Colossians. And Paul was very glad to receive news about the Colossians. And my dear friends, are you faithful? Are you a servant? You know, again, I say I have the advantage of being just a visiting preacher. Tomorrow I'm gone. So I'm free to tell you certain things without being stoned. The believer, I hear this many, many times. All what the Lord wants from us is to be faithful. Please don't stop there. The Lord wants us to be faithful and fruitful. Otherwise, barren. And a barren Christian is not a Christian. Remember that. You read John chapter 15, you will see we will bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit, and fruit that remain. So be faithful, but pray on your knees tonight. Go to the Lord every day. Lord, I want to be fruitful also. So it's all here, my dear friends. Number four. Who is one of you? Now come to chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 12. Yeah? Chapter 4, verse 12. And Paul says to the Colossians that Epaphras is one of you. I think that's a good expression. What does it mean? It means the Colossians knew him and he knew them. But I could go further with that expression, one of you. He was not above them. You see, the elder or the pastor or the deacon, the church officers, are not above the people. They are one of the people. And that's very important today in our churches. He is one of you, one of you. He was their pastor. He taught them the word. When you go back to Colossians 1 again, verse 7 and 8, you will read that this man taught them many things. Epaphras was their teacher, and he was their pastor there, but he was one of them. And later also, as I asked you this morning, please, in verse 12 and 13, count how many times you, I pay attention to details when I study the Bible. Nothing is here by hazard. Every word is inspired. So when we read these things, they are important for our souls. Number five, Colossians 4 verse 12 again. And you see, a servant of Christ. Do you see that? He was a servant of Christ, a slave. The word servant there, and that says it all. He was a servant of Christ. So many are self-servants today, seeking their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. My dear friend, do you know once you meet with the Lord Jesus Christ, once you are saved, you do not belong to yourself anymore. Your time, your energy, your possessions, your body, your mind, whatever you have, doesn't belong to you anymore. You belong to Christ. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 4 says that our life is hidden in Christ. So let me give you a picture. If your life is hidden in Christ, when God looks at you, whom does he see? Please tell me, whom does he see? Christ. Your life is hidden in Christ. You are in Christ. When God looks at you, he doesn't see you. He sees his son. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. listen to him, hear him. That is why at the day of judgment, Christ was already judged for you. He will not be punished a second time for the sins he already has been punished for. Though he himself is without sin, blameless, sinless, spotless, holy one, the Savior who took upon himself our sins, will come back one day. And those who have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ will stand before him. But I want to come back to Epaphras here, my dear friends. Epaphras served the church. Please, and if I could speak again, I beseech you, pleading with you, look beyond your person. Every day ask yourself, what can I do for the Lord? You know, some people can be prayer warriors, be one of them, able to be an instrument in the hands of the Lord with tracts, with pamphlets, visitation, giving a phone call. You know, in a small church, we know one another. Somebody's not here. Your first reaction after the service, I must give him a call. I must give her a call. We care for one another. If you don't retain anything from anything I said or everything I said, please, please, I said to churches, let us care for one another. We are so small. If we don't care for one another, the world is too hostile. It will devour us. So care for one another. What a great example. Number 6, look at it again in verse 12. He says, Epaphras saluted you. I think that's affection. So he was a man of affection and recognition also. He remembers them. None of us, I will guess, have an elephant mind. We are so forgetful. But love always remembers. And that's very important. He gave us a good example. Now let's carry on. Still in verse 12 then. Let me read it for you again. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted you. Now you come to action. Always laboring fervently for you in prayer. Do you see the word? I highlighted it in my Bible here. The word prayer there is in plural, prayers. Not just from time to time, but all the time. And you see the always there. We'll come to it. Always. Not just sometimes, but always. Now, my dear friends, that's a good. There is a lot for us just in this expression. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers. The priestly saints believed in the power of prayer. And the praying church is everything. And I was saying yesterday, don't have a Bible study if you don't have a prayer meeting. No need. Prayer is more important. And of course, study the word. Now, in this expression, I highlighted 3 or 4 things just to pass them on to you. Number one, this man was a preacher and a praying servant, even in prison. It's here. In that cell in prison, Paul witnessed the prayer life of Epaphras. So each time Paul looked at Epaphras, what was his posture? He was praying. I think that we can spend some time also thinking about these things. The second thing I see here is the word laboring. I'm sure you know what laboring means. And actually, the Greek here, the word labor, we have it in English, that's why I mention it, is the word agonize. Agonize. And it's the same word used about the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 22, verse 44. When Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, what was he doing? He was praying there. And we read that he was earnestly praying in agony. And even his sweat became drops of blood. So intense. Again, my dear friend, can I repeat something I said yesterday? If you don't feel your prayers, why do you want God to feel them? So listen carefully to one another's prayers. Are they earnest? Are they intense? Do you really mean what you are asking God for? So it's all here. I think he was wrestling in prayer. He was an intercessor. For whom? Do you have a prayer list? And I think here, you see, even if you take your prayer list, that's wonderful. You have a prayer list. I think if you pray for every single item here, 5 minutes won't do it. We need more time. Oh, my dear friends, I think Epaphras was the New Testament Jacob wrestling with God. I will not let God go until he blesses me. So he was wrestling, agonizing, toiling to the point of exhaustion. His soul, he put his old soul into it. But a third thing I see, fervently, do you see that? Fervently, intensely, with intensity, earnestly, energetically, painfully, but also, I think, passionately. I listen or I see some preachers, they have no passion for anything. Come on. Oh, that's very sad. So, it's easier to criticize the minister. It's easier to criticize the ministry. It's easier to criticize the church than to pray. That requires no effort, but prayer requires effort. You know, if you go back to Colossians 1, verse 29, you will see Epaphras imitated the Apostle Paul. And glance in Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. It's the same word, the word to agonize there also. So this man imitated the Apostle Paul. Please, my brothers, my sisters, if we cannot imitate one another, if I don't see anything good in anyone in the church, I think I shouldn't be in that church. We are together to imitate one. I hope I can see something good in my brother. I hope I can see something good in my sister. Oh, I wish I have that. That's a good covetousness. But if there is nothing to imitate in the church, what are we here for? A community hall? A social club? A clique? No, we don't want that. We want to be there for a good reason, a spiritual reason. So it's all here. I invent nothing. But look at again. The fourth thing I want to mention, always laboring fervently for you in prayer. The word always. So, and they were always in his mind. Always, all the time. He prayed without ceasing. Constantly, not just when he felt like, or not just when somebody asked him to pray. But always means also he persevered. He persevered in prayer. And it is interesting that he prayed, his prayers were specific. So I already told you many things about how he prayed. He prayed constantly. He prayed permanently. He persevered in prayer. But he was also specific in his prayers. How do I know? You see, it's here. And he tells us, praying for you. Saluted you. But not only them, he prayed also for the church of Laodicea. He prayed for the church in Hierapolis. And remember, the devil is keeping many out of prayer. I think the least attended meeting of any church is the prayer meeting. But we will glibly say, oh, there is power in prayer. But where are the people when it comes to prayer? I'm sorry if you are offended by these words. But that's not the point. That's not the purpose. I want to be where the people of God are gathered together in prayer. The first Christians, read it in Acts chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Where were they? When the Holy Spirit descended, where were they? In the prayer meeting, in that upper room. They were not just having coffee and biscuits. They were having prayer. And the blessing came. The blessing came while the people were praying. When Peter was released from prison, where did he go? He went to the church. What was the church doing in Acts chapter 12? In prayer. He didn't believe, or they didn't believe that their prayers will be heard. Sometimes it's good that we are in that position. We pray, but we still don't believe. But God is merciful. He answers them. When he knocked on the door. So, my dear friends, I said earlier, love remembers, but love always prays. On our knees. Now, having said that, there is number 8. I didn't give you a list, but this is, if you follow me carefully, you want me to recap for you? Number 1, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Number 2, our dear, dear fellow slave, fellow servant. Number 3, who is one of you? Who is one of you? Number 4, he is faithful, a faithful minister. Number 5, a servant of Christ. Number 6, he sends his salutations to them. Number 7, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Now, number 8, look at it, verse 13. He had a great zeal. You see that for them? Great zeal. And the word zeal there, it's really, he had much distress. Heavy duty. He was burdened by them or for them. Some Christians are burdened for nothing and for nobody except their small person. Oh, my dear friends, we are indebted. Prayer requires discipline. And discipline requires perseverance. So you see, we pray for our pastors, we pray for our elders, we pray for the gospel, we pray for the Sunday school, we pray for the neighborhood. I think if you have a list, may I encourage you, have a list, and you will see you need 20 minutes, half an hour of prayer. But now let's come to the last part. I know my time is over. I kept you for too long, but don't miss this part. Look at the content. What was he praying for? And there are elements here. What was he agonizing for? Why they were always in his mind at all time? Why? Because he had an aim, he had a purpose. And before I list them for you, do you see? You will see it in a moment. He didn't pray for their healing. He didn't pray that they may get better jobs. He didn't pray that they will have more possessions. And he didn't even pray that persecution will not come to them. But there are four things. I will just list them. You can study them for yourself. But they are all here as I look at the verse. I read it for you. That they may, verse 12, that they may what? Number one, stand. Stand. A sleepy man cannot stand. The believer has to be awakened. Those who sleep at night, we read in the Word. We are children of light. So stand, soldiers like soldiers, ready for obedience. And this, you see, the stand here, you have to do it. God will not do it for you. You know, never believe in the let go, let God. We don't believe in that. That you just said God will do it for you. No, no, no. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee. Who does the resisting? God? No, you do the resisting. And because I do the resisting, God in his mercy will come and help me. So that's the way things happen. Stand, stand, stand in the faith. Stand fast in the Lord. We read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Stand fast. And of course, you know, most of time the Christian has to stand alone. But you are never alone, because Christ is with you. And whosoever thinketh that he standeth, let him heed. Never, never have a high opinion of yourself. It's very dangerous. So stand, and stand in the doctrine, stand in the old paths. They are good. Stand for the truth. So that's number one. Number two, again in verse 12, it says, stand perfect. Oh, who is perfect here? Have you ever met somebody perfect? I need to meet one. But the word perfect here means stand to be mature. Don't be a babe. When I was a child, I behaved like a child. But now, after how many years? 10 years, 20 years, 60 years walking with the Lord. Be mature. 2 Peter 3 verse 18. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jude is telling us, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Oh my friends, Christian life is hard, but it is sweet. And it is real. It's not imagination. You walk with the Lord, he will bless your life. So stand, stand perfect. Watch ye, quit you like men. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I believe it's verse 13 and 14. Stand like men. Stand like women. And a confused Christian cannot stand. Don't be confused. Know what you believe. Know in whom you have believed. And that's very important. Well, I wish I can tell you more. Not only stand perfect and complete. You see it there? Complete here means fulfilled, fruitful. To come back to the word I mentioned earlier. Be fruitful. And go back to Colossians 2 verse 9 and 10. You and me are complete only in Christ. So when I meet somebody who is not a believer, in speaking with him, I said to him, do you know you are incomplete? You are a half person, actually. you are insulting. No, that's what the Bible said. Come on. Find the Lord. Believe in the Lord. Repent from your sins and you will be complete. Nobody is complete without Christ. Just a skeleton. A walking dead. But here it is. And lastly, stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Only this expression could be a whole sermon. In all the will of God. What is the will of God? Nothing mystic, nothing mysterious. Can I tell you what is the will of God for your life? Number one, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may know the will of God. Do you know what is the will of God for your life? 1 Thessalonians tells us, chapter 4, the will of God is for you and me to be holy. What is the will of God for your life? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Giving thanks always through Christ Jesus to God. You see, this is the will of God. Can I do that every day? Yes. I don't need to go to a psychologist or a so-called man of God to ask him what is the will of God. I know what is the will of God revealed in his word. Oh, my dear friends, it's all here. But you see, there is something I don't want you to miss there. In all, not half of it, not part of it, but in all the will of God. And I think, in closing, I just read the verse again. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Just imagine a local church if everyone is an Epaphras. Everyone standing firm in all the will of God. Transformed, living a holy life, sanctified, witnessing, a true worshiper. I think if we pray this way, according to the will of God, there will be no lukewarm Christian among us. There will be no nominal Christian among us. Please, what is our calling today? It's here. It's here. That he may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So may the Lord help us and may our lives reflect the example of Epaphras, the interceder. Amen. And our closing hymn, you have been so patient. And I just, I avoid making any personal comment on how delighted we are to be among you. And we will never forget this visit. And it is for eternity. You know, it is for eternity. Once you meet the brethren, the sisters, it's for heaven. And 780. Is our closing hymn. My gracious Lord, I own thy right to every service I can pay. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and continue with each one of us, now and forevermore. Amen.